So, good evening everyone, and today I'm going to present the work done by me, Nadia Alkubursov, and Shivnat Babu from Duke University, and two people from Aladdin Storage Group, Sandeep Untamchandani, Erman Nirote, and Amik Singh. So, in current days, the business intelligence workload is getting more and more popular, and this business intelligence workload is issuing report generation queries to a database. And in the most of the environments, the database are using as a storage area network, or SAN. So this environment is managed by separate administrators teams, one team for the database and another team for the SAN. And usually these administrators don't have visibility into the other system. And this leads to the question, what happens if there is a problem into the system? And usual scenario during the problem is that the database administrator would open a ticket that would the SAN administrator would have to look. And the usual ticket that database administrators open is 30% slowdown compared to the 2 weeks ago. And the SAN administrator response to this ticket is, okay, I'm seeing 40% increase in the IO, but the response times is within normal bounds. So this to and fro may continue for several weeks, even a month, till the problem is resolved. And what is the natural solution to this problem? A natural solution is a tool that can provide a holistic view for the whole query executions. And even if you have this tool and uses low-level tracing data, this would help you answer the question really fast. But the problem when you're using low-level tracing data is that this may be infeasible due to the fact that the database tool may be from different vendor, from the SAN monitoring tool. So it is really not straightforward to just stitch the data together that those two tools are provided. And the other thing is that if you have low-level tracing, then this may introduce high overhead on the production system, which is really something that is not desirable. So now, in our work, we are trying to take the database-level monitoring data as well as the SAN-level monitoring data from tools like Hyperic HQ and Total Storage Productivity Center from IBM, and we are trying to put it together in a way that we can provide a holistic view to the whole systems. And we built a tool called DIAT, standing for Diagnosis Database and SAN, that takes as an input poorly performing query, as well as the monitoring data from the database and SAN. And the other output for this problem is the root cause for the query's performance slowdown. In case the tool is not able to pinpoint the root cause, it provides the localization of the problem. So to be able to resolve this, we need to face a couple of challenges. And the first challenge is how we represent the data. And we address this by creating a data abstraction that we call annotated plant graph. And this annotated plant graph provides a holistic view from the whole query executions. And as well, it's built from the currently available tools that collect commonly available monitoring data. Once we have built this data, then our LERC flow uses this data structure to diagnose the problem. And we're doing this by using machine learning and expert knowledge. The reason why we're using machine learning is that there's a lot of history data, and it's infeasible for a human person to go through this data and look at it. It makes sense. So that's why we go ahead and use the machine learning techniques. But using the machine learning techniques may be fooled due to some noisy data. And that's why we incorporate expert knowledge. And by incorporating expert knowledge for the system, we're also dealing with fault propagations. And this integration of machine learning and expert knowledge is the first place, it's one of the places where we have checks and balances inside the systems. And by checks and balances, I mean that we are trying to do a couple of things in different way so that we can verify and keep on the right track during the diagnosis. So now I just give you a brief motivation for the problem. And now I'll introduce a running example which would help me guide you through the workflow that our tool is doing. And later on, I'll evaluate, and then I'll conclude. So what is our running example? We have a report generation query that is running periodically, like every night or every couple of days. And for our example, we use TPC benchmark query number 2. As you can see, this is fairly complex query. But what I want you to concentrate is that there are 5 tables, which are very large tables, that are joined together. And the aggregated results need to be returned to the user. Now let's take a look at the tables. And our configuration is that one of the table parts up resides on volume V1. And all the rest of the tables resides on volume V2. As you can see from the sun, these volumes are mapped to pools, which are used by the storage subsystem. Then through the fiber channel, they're mapped to the host bus adapter to the database server. So now what happens in the system is that the database administrator, SAN administrator, creates a new volume, VT, that is experiencing some workload. And in the transaction processing settings, usually this workload won't affect the other queries running on volume V1. But in the business intelligence settings, where you have report generation query and that have unpredicted execution, this new workload may introduce significant overhead to the business intelligence query. And now let's see what happens in our example. First, we're observing that our query is running fine. And this query is running around 15 minutes. But after the configuration of the new volume and the introducing of the workload, then the query begins to execute for 30 minutes, which is 100% increase in execution time. So we need to diagnose the problem for this query slowdown. Now that I've presented you just the earning example, let's start and see. First, we're starting for the query plan executions. And as you can see, this is fairly complex query plan. But what I want you to point out here are the circle operators. These operators are directly fetching the data from the disk. All the rest of the operators are intermediate, which process this data. And for the rest of the presentations, I'll focus only on the leaf operators, the one that are circled. So now let's look at the SAN part. We have these operators, and as you recall from the last slide, the parts of table resides on volume V1, and all of the rest of the tables resides on volume V2. Now, we start to create our data abstraction, what we call on data plan graph. And to be able to do this, we need to construct the data flow, and the data flow all the way to the operators. And we are calling this dependency path. And to construct this dependency path, we begin from the database. And we use the configuration data from the tables. And from the tables, we can obtain the mapping to the table space, where database table space is a logical entity that groups several tables. Once we have identified the table spaces, we also configure the file system that this table space uses. And from now on, then the SAN configuration data comes into part. And from the file system, we map this to the volumes. And in our SAN volume V1 and V2. Again, with the SAN configuration data, we continue this mapping. And we identify the number of disks, the pools that are using, as well as the storage subsystem, the ports that are used to connect to the fiber channel, as well as the fiber channel, the host bus adapter, and the database server. And now we have created our dependency path, basically which represents the data flow in our system. But now, this is not enough. We need to place some more information that would help us guide through the diagnosis workflow. And the way we're doing this, we're creating annotations. By annotations is the monitoring data that we're seeing for each part of the systems. Now, let's take a look first at the database part. And in the database part, we're using the annotations, the plan level data, which may consist for the running operators, for the running time of the operators, as well as the number of records returned by operators and other metrics for the operators, as well as generic database level data, such as the number of buffers used, CPU utilization, and so on. So we stitch this data and for each of the operators. And this is time-related data, meaning that each of the annotations is related for the time when the query was executing. And we're doing this for each query. We collect one IPG. Now let's see what happens in the SAN part of the data. So we are doing the same thing. We take the monitoring data from the SAN monitoring tool, which may consist for the components reads and writes, as well as we take the general data like event logs. We also stitch it together for each of the components. And this is how we collect all the annotations in our data structures. Now that we have identified our data structures, we further continue with our workflow. And the workflow begins by administrator identifying the satisfactory and unsatisfactory queries. By satisfactory query means the query that is running fine. Like in my example, the query is taking less than 15 minutes. And the unsatisfactory query execution will be the one that is taking 30 minutes. So now that we have identified this, we have the APGs. And from the APGs, we drill down to the plans and further on to the operators. Then we reason about the operators and the sound components that these operators are using. And we identify the possible symptoms for the root cause. And once we have identified the symptoms, we go about the root cause. And we further ask the question, what would be the impact on this root cause to the system? So now let's take a look at the first module, module correlated operators. So basically, the purpose of this module is to identify the operators that have correlation with the query performance slowdown. And the way we're doing this, we're taking all the history data and we are applying a machine learning technique called kernel density estimation, which basically calculates the anomaly score. Anomaly score is the calculation from the machine learning techniques that represents the distance from the unsatisfactory data to the distributions of the satisfactory data. So as you intuitively already may know, the higher the distance is, the more suspicious the operators are. Now let's take a look at our running example. As you can see in the columns, I have put all the leaf operators and their execution times. So the first three rows in this table represent satisfactory executions for this query. And the last two rows, the red ones, represent unsatisfactory execution for this query. As you probably have seen already, there is an increase in the operator's O8 execution time, almost double. And what our machine learning techniques identified, that operators 4, 8, and 22 have high anomaly scores, which basically means that their performance is correlated with the query's performance. So now that we have identified the operators, we further drill down to the sound components. And we are applying the same techniques there. So for each of the operators, 4, 8, and 22, we apply the same kernel density estimation for each of the dependency paths in these components. And once we need to identify some of the components in this dependency path that are correlated with this operator's execution time. And as you can see in the table, in our running example, the right matrix for volume V1 had high anomaly score, and the volume matrix for V2 are within normal. So now that we have identified the possible problems, these are only symptoms for the root cause, and we want to make sense of them and present to the administrator some meaningful results. And the way we do this is by looking up into the symptom database. So our symptom database basically maps the symptoms to a root cause. And this is helping us to handle fault propagations in the system. And the reason we are doing this is because machine learning is not enough. Machine learning won't identify fault propagations. That's why we need to incorporate expert knowledge for the database and SAN. So for the implementation, here we have many choices. One of the choices is the codebook used by EMC, which basically maps root causes to symptoms. And another implementation is the oracles, which you just present the rules. And there's also Bayesian networks. So in our implementation, we build on top of these techniques. And we needed to address several challenges to make this module really contributing a lot to the tool. And first challenge that we needed to express is how are symptoms expressed. And for this, we define a declarative language that helps us also present built-in parameters as well as temporal patterns. Another challenge that needs to address is how we populate this database. And currently, this database is populated by the administrators, but we are working on partial automation for the population. One more thing that needs to be addressed as a challenge is that how we keep the symptom database size relatively small. And we're doing this by using parameterized symptoms. And what I mean by parameterized symptoms are, for example, symptom is metrics related to volume V, where V is parameter. In this way, we don't need to enumerate all the volumes in the systems. And this helps us keep the database small. Last but not least is how we're handling missing or extra symptoms. And the way we're dealing this is by supporting partial matches. And the partial matches are basically our confidence score, which is how many of the currently observed symptoms are needed for this root cause to be present. Now, let's see in our running example what happened. We've identified operators 4, 8, and 22. And we also, from the dependency module, we identified the right metrics for volume V1 are also suspicious. And we know from the log events, we saw that there is a new volume on the same set of disks as volume V1 is using. And in the symptom database, our symptom database gave a low confidence score for the volume V2 related root causes due to the lack of symptoms, representing that there is something wrong there. And for the volume V1 sound misconfiguration problem, our symptom database identified as a high confidence due to the reason that most of the symptoms were present there. Now that we have identified the possible root cause, we are planning to play devil's advocate and see and ask the question, if this were to happen, what would be the impact in the system? And here comes our impact analysis module. In this module, we're trying to explain what fraction of the slowdown could be explained by this root cause. And this module basically produces our impact score, which is the percentage that could be explained by this root cause for the slowdown. And the module that it really helps us here is to filter out the false negatives as well as the false positives. And also, it helps us distinguish between the root causes with high impact on the query as well as the ones with the low impact on the query. So for the implementation of this module, we had a bunch of techniques. And one of the techniques is reverse dependency analysis, which is bottom-up traversing of the dependency paths. The another technique is the leveraging of database cost models as well as the SAN device models. Now, let me present you the reverse dependency analysis for our running example. We've identified that volume V1, SAN misconfiguration, is the possible root cause. And now we start from there, and we work our way all the way to the top. And when visiting each of the components, we are trying to see how much of this component is related to this root cause. And we go all the way to the parts of operators. And as the two operators have the highest impact on the query performance, that's why our impact analysis score get a high impact score for this root cause. So basically, this is the last model that concludes the workflow of the dyads. And further on, I will present you the evaluation techniques as well as the conclusion. So for the evaluation techniques, we've asked the questions, what are the problems that may happen? So there are problems that affect only database systems. And there's a fairly amount of good work that is addressing these challenges. Also, there's a very good tools that address the problems that happen in the SAM system. But what the real value of dyads is when we have concurrent problems or when we have propagations from one of the systems to the other. So in our testbed, we use TPCH queries that we're running on PostgreSQL database that uses IBM D6000 storage subsystem. And the SAN storage was shared with the production system workload. So let's recap our running example. And the problem was that we had a new volume, V3, that was mapped to the same set of disks for volume V1. And this is our SAN misconfiguration problem. And our module correlated operators identified operators 4, 8, and 22 as suspicious and having a relation with the performance slowdown. Then our dependency analysis identified that metrics on volume V2, right metrics, were suspicious as well. And then our symptom database mapped this problem to the sound misconfiguration problem on V1. And finally, the impact analysis get a high score for this problem. Now, we've tried to further complicate this example by adding more stuff to it. And this is our scenario two, where along with the sound misconfiguration problem, we introduced a new workload on volume V2 that was concurrent during the query execution. And this workload was in a bursting manner in such a way that the query was not affected. And usually, sound only two probably would fail to distinguish between two causes, as there is no significant difference between the volume V1 workload and volume V2. And the sound tool doesn't have a visibility which one is affecting our query. So what I want to highlight here is that the module correlated operators in DIADS identified the right set of operators that are related to this problem. And the symptom database module further ruled out that the V2 workload was not related to the query slowdown due to the lack of confidence. We also consider a set of different scenarios where we change the database as well as the sum, and we also introduce some spurious or missing symptoms that we try to evaluate our tool. And I won't stop further this, but I encourage you to read the details in the paper. So in the related work, as I mentioned before, there's a lot of database level or sound level diagnostic tools that are focusing on only on these systems. And our work is complementing this work by enabling to diagnose problems that propagate through the systems or that are concurrent in both systems. Also, there is a fairly large amount of machine learning techniques for diagnosis, as well as the expert knowledge using for diagnosis. And we believe that the combination of those two is the right set to go, as it would help us guide through the noisy data as well as the fault propagation. So in conclusion, I present you our tool DIADS that is helping database and sound administrators. And the contributions that we are doing is the data abstraction that stitches together the holistic view on the whole system, and the diagnosis workflow that incorporates both machine learning and expert knowledge. And as a future steps, we plan to work for alternative techniques for each of the modules to further enhance and keep track the right diagnosis, as well as taking the tool to the next level where we can not just pinpoint the root causes, we can also suggest fixes for these root causes. We're also interested in other applications, like answering questions of what if for sound or database changes. And that is my talk, and I would like to open the floor for questions.
Pietari Hyvärinen from CSC Finland. Have you considered impact of virtualization layer, for example, VMware, on the between Sun network and the database machine?
Okay, so basically, to answer your question, when you have the virtualization, you can also track the monitoring data. And as able as your track to this monitoring data, you can stitch it together. Yes, you can use it and analyze it. Does this answer your question?
Hello, Adrian Terranova, JP Morgan. Have you thought about fully instrumenting the stack of an open source database application so that you have, I guess, deep knowledge of the metrics that you're collecting from the database library and OS perspective so that you can correlate those in a time domain? Because one of the things that I see as a big problem in the multi-stack application that you're looking at is that it's very easy to get information about things that you have agents for. It could be more useful to have something like a performance library that's always available to you that you know a discrete set of components. Have you thought about extending in that manner or?
Okay, so if you have such a performance library, I guess you're collecting some intrusive data, right? So the problem here is that you don't know in advance of time what would happen. So you cannot collect intrusive data all the time because this would introduce a lot of overhead. So basically, you don't want to turn this on all the time. And in the same time, you have to deal with the state that you don't have this data all the time. So you don't know when to turn this on. So this is the major problem here. And that's why we're trying to address this problem by low-level monitoring data, meaning that it does not produce a lot of overhead on the system. Because if we have the intrusive tracing, then the answer to this question is very easy. But the real trade-off is the overhead that you have to handle.